The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. We're right in the midst of quite a lot of rain here in Edmond, much-needed rain for our youth camp. It's been blistering hot these last few weeks. And so all through the night, as the thunder was rolling, it did make us appreciate rain in due season. We very much need it. Well, yesterday, as you heard at the top of the hour there, the UN Security Council unanimously endorsed this historic deal made last week between Western powers and the Islamic Republic of Iran. This from the Associated Press. It says President Barack Obama told reporters he hopes the Republican-controlled U.S. Congress, where there is strong opposition to the deal, will pay attention to the broad international consensus, stressing that the deal is by far our strongest approach to ensuring that Iran does not get a nuclear weapon. Now, as Congress is up in arms, as they complain about the president going to the UN first, even before he submitted the deal to Congress, just remember what happened back in April, how that Congress gave up control, basically. It gave over its power to the administration. And so it really makes all of these warnings ring hollow. There's many of them out there on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats alike. But why didn't they stand firm back in April? Why didn't they fight? Why didn't they show a backbone? This administration has pushed this vote along in the UN before it even submitted the agreement to Congress, because it's not about to let Congress undo this historic deal. The AP says under the agreement, Iran's nuclear program will be curbed for a decade in exchange for potentially hundreds of billions of dollars worth of relief from international sanctions. That's the Associated Press. That's the AP's take on this deal. Under the agreement, it says, Iran's nuclear program will be curbed for a decade. That's it. Curbed for a decade in return for what? Hundreds of billions of dollars worth of relief. And so just as Carolyn Glick said in her column last week, and this is assuming Iran doesn't cheat, of course, but in just 10 short years, the world's number one sponsor of international terrorism will be rich and possess a modernized military and a ballistic missile arsenal capable of carrying nuclear warheads anywhere on Earth. And of course, then the nuclear warheads to go along with it. Is the world actually safer now as a result of this deal? At best, it's just putting off the inevitable clash for a very short time. At best, if you give Iran the benefit of the doubt, and assume that they won't cheat. In fact, prophecy is accelerating. This is from Israel Hayom yesterday, July 20th. Nuclear deal will see powers help Iran protect facilities. This is within the agreement. This article, officials at the Prime Minister's office are outraged by a clause stipulating that world powers will actively help Iran thwart attempts to undermine its nuclear program. Officials at the Prime Minister's office, that's speaking of Mr. Netanyahu, Israel Hayom is an Israeli publication. And this article says one of the clauses in the nuclear deal reached between world powers and Iran last week guarantees that the world powers will assist Iran in thwarting attempts to undermine its nuclear program. It's far worse than just turning a blind eye to Iran's nefarious activities. Far worse than that. This deal is actually about the West strengthening strengthening Iran's position, protecting Iran's nuclear program, if you can believe it. Who could have imagined this just a few years ago, really? No wonder the officials in Israel are outraged. The article says Article 10 of the deal, included in a section titled Reactors, Fuels, Facilities, and Processes, stipulates that world powers and Iran will foster cooperation through training and workshops to strengthen Iran's ability to protect against and respond to nuclear security threats, including sabotage, as well as to enable effective and sustainable nuclear security and physical protection systems. This is the West setting up all these protective hedges so that Iran scientists can carry on with its nuclear program. It's astounding. It's just unbelievable. You'd think it was a spoof, as the mayor of London said last week. On just reading this, if you were in a coma for 5 or 10 years and woke up and read this, the terms of this deal, you'd think it was a joke. Helping them? Assisting them? Protecting them? The article says recent years have seen various mishaps befall the Iranian nuclear program, from powerful computer viruses to the death of nuclear scientists, which world media outlets have often attributed to foreign intelligence agency, including the Mossad. The article suggests the P5 plus one, the U.S., U.K., Russia, China, France, and Germany, will actively try to prevent such incidents, as well as any potential military operation against Iran, making such options far more complicated and dangerous. Translation? We're going to protect Iran from the Jews. We're going to protect Iran from Israel. We're going to do everything that we can to prevent Israel from taking action. And so here we are, the P5 plus one. They're going to be closely monitoring Israel. Not so much Iran. They're going to be watching Israel, making sure that the Jews don't in any way try to sabotage Iran's nuclear program. We're living in an upside-down world, for sure. We've written about this before. And you can see it. It's making headlines every day. Sources privy to the negotiation said Article 10 did not appear, notice this, Article 10 did not appear in the interim deal inked between world powers and Iran in April, but was added to the final agreement at the last minute. Of course, added at the last minute because Iranian negotiators knew how desperate the United States was to get any deal through. Added at the last minute, allegedly over Iran's desire to protect its nuclear program. And so just like the embargoes that were lifted over conventional weapons and ballistic missiles, right at the last minute, here's this stipulation put in as well. Right at the last minute. Oh, and by the way, you've got to protect our nuclear arsenal. You've got to protect our nuclear program. Okay, let's sign it. Let's get it done. That's what the West said. That's what the United States agreed to. And since the deal was made just 1 week ago today, I got into some of this yesterday, you see Iran ramping up its fiery threats against who? Well, the United States, of course. According to the Washington Free Beacon, Iran says, "We will trample upon America. We'll trample you." Iranian cleric Ayatollah Muhammad Ali Kermani, who was handpicked by the Islamic Republic's supreme leader to deliver the prayers, delivered a message of hostility toward the United States in the first official remarks since a final nuclear deal was signed between Iran and world powers in Vienna last week. A Persian language message on the podium declared, "We will trample upon America," while the English phrase, "We defeat the United States," can be seen underneath. defeat, trample. Friday prayers are known for being officially sanctioned by the state and a sign of the Supreme Leader's thinking on various issues. Analysts who spoke to the Washington Free Beacon about the anti-American tone of last week's prayers said it's a sign Tehran believes it bested the United States in the talks. Of course. Of course it's a sign. We beat you. We humiliated you. Look at what you agreed to. They're openly bragging about this diplomatic coup. And what are America's diplomats out there doing? Well, they're trying to explain why they didn't get any time, anywhere access. They're trying to redefine what any time, anywhere access means. They're trying to explain why they would be so foolish as to lift the ban on ballistic missiles. Well, I thought this was just an agreement about the nuclear program. They're trying to explain why they'd be so foolish to lift the ban on acquiring conventional weapons. I thought this was just about the nuclear program. That's what our diplomats are out there doing, trying to explain. As the Iranian diplomats are openly bragging. According to the Middle East Media Research Institute, the slogans "death to Israel" and "death to America" have resounded throughout the country and are not limited to Tehran and other large cities. The entire country is under the umbrella of this great movement of "death to America." The entire country is on board. The entire country sees this as a diplomatic coup. The entire country is reveling in the fact that the United States has just been humiliated. The Free Beacon article continues, Iran's defense minister on Monday said the deal also will prohibit all foreigners from inspecting Iran's defensive and missile capabilities at sensitive military sites. That's what the Iran's defense minister is saying. Our diplomats, as I say, are trying to explain why it's not anytime, anywhere access. They're bragging about the fact that this deal means that all foreigners will not be able to inspect. How about that? Finally, it says here, Michael Rubin, a former Pentagon advisor and expert on rogue regimes, said that the official remarks by Iranian officials and clerics are meant to mock the Obama administration. And then it quotes him as saying, there's a reason why Mr. Obama doesn't want Congress to see the agreement. It's because to examine the agreement is to recognize that it's more an unconditional surrender than an arms control agreement. See, U.S. officials can dress it up any way that they want. But those who examine the agreement see it for what it is. It's a surrender. It's a surrender. This alert came into my inbox yesterday from GermanForeignPolicy.com. Germany, of course, is part of that P5 plus one, as we know. It says here, Berlin is rushing to renew economic ties with Iran and to engage in reshaping the Middle East by dispatching its minister of the economy to Tehran. Already, its German minister is on the way to try to resume negotiations or to try to open up Germany for business, for Iranian business. The nuclear agreement signed last Tuesday with Tehran offers German companies the opportunity to normalize their trade with Iran, which was once among the most lucrative in the Middle East, but had sharply declined due to the sanctions. Exports in the double-digit billions are expected. And it says, meanwhile, experts are calling for realigning power relations in the Persian Gulf under Western leadership to establish a balance of power between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So Germany here is going to be, for a time, it's going to be going through this delicate balancing act, hoping to balance Iran with Saudi Arabia and do business with both of them while it can. It says this would prevent the hegemony of either and offer the West favorable opportunities to influence developments in the region. comprehensive German arms exports to Saudi Arabia and the weakening of Iranian positions, particularly in Syria, would form the basis of this desired balance of power. So right now, I mean, German businesses are lining up. They see this as an opportunity. And so long as Germany sees a balance of power there, it's really not balanced. I mean, Iran clearly is the regional power. But while its position's momentarily weakened in Syria and maybe a couple of other places, German businesses see an opportunity. But we know where this is headed because of Bible prophecy. To finish this report, GermanForeignPolicy.com, it says, according to experts, the EU could play a leading role in reshaping the region if resistance in the U.S. Congress at the last moment does not block the nuclear deal. The EU sees this as an opportunity to reshape the region. The U.S. influence is in decline. The United States is moving out, and Europe is moving in. It'll be a delicate balancing act for a time. But ultimately, we know that it's going to fall according to the lines drawn in Psalm 83. Germany and this anti-Iran alliance across the Middle East. And then, of course, after that, the clash in Daniel 11 and verse 40. Eventually, a German strongman will appear and have to confront this Frankenstein monster. And that's what leads to that spectacular clash talked about in Daniel 11 and verse 40. Switching gears here just for a second. I mentioned recently this the president's visit to right here in Oklahoma. He visited one of Oklahoma's prisons. It was the first time that a sitting American president has ever visited a federal prison. And it was all part of this push coming from the administration to reform the nation's criminal justice system. Just before the president arrived here in Oklahoma last week, he gave a speech to the NAACP in Philadelphia where he said, while the people in our prisons have made some mistakes and sometimes big mistakes, they're also Americans. You can see where he's going with this. Prisoners have rights too. We've got to get more rights to the prisoners. And then while he was here in Oklahoma, the president said this: our criminal justice system isn't as smart as it should be. It's not keeping us safe as we should be. It's not as fair as it should be. We need to do something about it. We need to do something about the unfairness, the injustice. In fact, before the past year, there were quite a few communities in the United States which had seen crime statistics decline over the past couple of decades. But that has reversed. And even recently, as we've been reporting, with crime and murder statistics on the up and up in places like Baltimore and elsewhere. In any event, reform is coming. We're talking about fundamental transformation of the United States. Great changes are on the way in the criminal justice system. Politico last week said in a meeting with ex-cons on Tuesday and during a roundtable with inmates here on Thursday, speaking of the Oklahoma visit, President Obama said he was struck by the fact that societal inequities mean that some misbehaving kids end up behind bars instead of in front of a principal's desk. What message? Just think about it as we read through some of these quotes. Think about the message that this sends. That, well, maybe you shouldn't be behind bars. Maybe you should have just gone in front of the principal and gotten a little slap on the wrist. The president, in the prison visit, also said this when they described their youth. These are young men, young people who made mistakes that aren't that different from the mistakes I made and the mistakes that a lot of you guys made. And then he says the difference, notice this, the difference is that they did not have the kind of support structures, the second chances, the resources that would allow them to survive those mistakes. And while some of them may surely have had disadvantages growing up, again, what kind of message does this send? That's the last message that they need to be hearing in prison. The message they really need is a message about repentance and change, change in their behavior, and an explanation of why they're locked up, why they're in prison. But you come in with a message that, well, you know, really, I've done some of the probably the same things you've done, and I'm president of the United States. You got a raw deal. The criminal justice system is about to be fundamentally transformed, and it's not going to help unite America. It's not going to drive crime statistics down, just the opposite. This article appeared over the weekend, really an explosive article, in the New York Post by Paul Sperry. The title, President Obama Collecting Personal Data for a Secret Race Database. This is from July the 18th. Sperry writes, a key part of President Obama's legacy will be the Fed's unprecedented collection of sensitive data on Americans by race. The government's prying into our most personal information at the most local levels, all for the purpose of racial and economic justice. So criminal justice needs to be reformed, social justice, racial justice, economic justice, you name it. Everything's unfair. Everybody's getting a raw deal, particularly the minorities. And the fix, let's be honest, the fix, quote unquote, it's only going to make matters worse. You'll notice in a lot of these quotes, you know, where is there the punishment needs to fit the crime? Where is there a message about justice being colorblind? Notice, I don't want to get ahead of myself to continue here. It says, unbeknown to most Americans, Mr. Obama's racial bean counters are furiously mining data on their health, home loans, credit cards, places of work, neighborhoods, even how their kids are disciplined in school, all to document inequalities between minorities and whites. See, what needs to be fixed in their minds are the numbers, the statistics, the percentages. We need to adjust the percentages, not in crime, not punish disobedience. We need to adjust the percentages. That's their definition of fairness. This Orwellian-style stockpile of statistics, it says, includes a vast and permanent network of discrimination databases, which Obama already is using to make disparate impact cases against banks that don't make enough prime loans to minorities, schools that suspend too many blacks, cities that don't offer enough Section 8 and other low-income housing for minorities, and employers who turn down African-Americans for jobs due to criminal backgrounds. Fundamental transformation is coming. If most Americans really knew what was happening to this country, they'd be shocked. But that's another aspect of the problem here. Most people are unaware of what's happening. Most don't care. Most are too busy. They're preoccupied with things, with materialism, with entertainment. And those that do see that something's dreadfully wrong, they're just beside themselves. Because there's no leaders today that have enough of a backbone to stand up for what's right, to fight for the Constitution. And so here we are descending into lawlessness and anarchy. The granddaddy of them all is the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Database, which the Department of Housing and Urban Development rolled out earlier this month to racially balance the nation zip code by zip code. I mean, this is fundamental transformation for sure. It will map every U.S. neighborhood by four racial groups, white, Asian, black, or African-American, and Hispanic, Latino, and publish geospatial data pinpointing racial imbalances. Geospatial data. Everything has to be racially balanced. All in the name of justice, fairness, balance. And what will it do? What will be the result? All that this is doing is fanning the flames of more hatred and strife. Don't take my word for it. That's what God prophesies. That's what God says is coming in passages like Ezekiel 5 and elsewhere, Isaiah 1. It's just going to fan the flames of hatred. It's going to cause more violence. It's going to cause more crime and division. This article says, through its mandatory civil rights data collection project, the Education Department is gathering information on student suspensions and expulsions by race from every public school district in the country. I mean, can you even imagine this kind of data collection project going on a few years ago? Gathering data on student suspensions, expulsions by race from every public school district in the country. It says districts that show disparities in discipline will be targeted for reform. Never mind what these individual cases involve or what the actual act was that needed to be punished. It's all about the percentages. That's it. They need to be evened out. This article says those that don't comply will be punished. Those that don't comply, those school districts that don't comply, will be punished. It says several already have been forced to revise their discipline policies, which has led to violent disruptions in classrooms. Well, surprise, surprise. You call for this kind of blatant lawlessness, and that's what you get. You get more violent disruptions in classrooms, sure enough. It says, Mr. Obama, this is the article, and again, this is from the New York Post, Paul Sperry's piece from July 18th. He says, Mr. Obama's educrats want to know how many blacks versus whites are enrolled in gifted and talented and advanced placement classes, schools that show blacks and Latinos under-enrolled in such curricula to an undefined, statistically significant degree, could open themselves up to investigation and lawsuits by the department's civil rights office. See, all in the name of justice, fairness, balance. And really, it's a gross injustice in every respect. Notice how this article concludes. Such databases have never before existed. This is unique in American history. This is what fundamental transformation is all about. Such databases have never before existed. Mr. Obama is presiding over the largest consolidation of personal data in U.S. history. He's creating a diversity police state where government race cops and civil rights lawyers will micromanage demographic outcomes in virtually every aspect of society. Let me read that to you again, and just think on it for a moment. This is the New York Post. He's creating a diversity police state where government race cops and civil rights lawyers will micromanage demographic outcomes in virtually every aspect of society. We've got to have fairness. It says, finally, the first black president, quite brilliantly, has built a quasi-reparations infrastructure perpetually fed by racial data that will outlast his administration. It's just like the Affordable Care Act. It's just like this recent deal with Iran. It's not about just passing it through. It's also about solidifying it in stone so that it can't be changed, so that it can't be undone. America's foundational institutions are under attack at every level. And as it happens, America's enemies abroad are on the home stretch to gaining nuclear weapons. Are we living in the last days? If you don't think so, you better wake up. You better look at what's happening. You need to read our booklet, America Under Attack. We'll send you a free copy. Just send a request to td@kpcg.fm. td@kpcg.fm. You can also get a free copy of that booklet at our website, thetrumpet.com. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial here in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream is available at kpcg.fm.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.